This morning to Genesis chapter number 2, Genesis chapter number 2, and we'll talk to you this morning about a serious subject. It's a subject of sin, and I'm afraid that there's a lot of folks that don't really realize what sin is, and then what it does, and the effects that it has, and how it has. Really, it has affected every part of our life. It has affected every part of this world that we live in. Sin is a terrible, terrible thing. And, by the way, no, we're not just talking about lost folks. We're talking about Christian folks, too. Sin in the life of a Christian, if we're not careful, sometimes we will excuse it, we'll minimize it, and we won't deal with it like God would have us to. And so, as we look this morning, as we see a sin, we want to look at some things. We want to see some things. And listen, the message is for everybody this morning. It's just not for the lost man. It's for everybody. Because we all face sin. We all have to deal with sin. And by the way, there was two great songs that were sung this morning that talks about that. There's a remedy. Listen, there's a remedy for sin. There's a remedy for the penalty of sin. But by the way, there's also a remedy for sin in the life of a Christian. It's called confession. The Bible says if we will confess with our mouth, or if we will confess, He will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin is a terrible thing. It's a deadly thing. And let's look at some things here this morning. Hopefully that'll be a help to us here today. Genesis chapter number 2, in verse number 15. The Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden, to dress it and to keep it." In other words, what he was going to do, he was going to make the ground his servant. He was going to subdue it, and then he was going to take care of it. He was going to be the guardian of this place. God says, take this garden and dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts here today. Lord, as we come before you, Lord, I sure do pray that you would bless the reading of your word. And Lord, I know that it's not what I have to say, but it's what you have to say that's important. And so I pray that, Lord, that you would make that clear today. Lord, you know, Lord, you can take a message and apply it to every heart here this morning. And Lord, you can speak to every heart here today. And Lord, that is my prayer, that you would do that. And Lord, you'd use this message. And Lord, you would take it and use it to whatever your purpose would be today. Lord, that most of all, Lord, we want to lift you up and magnify you. We want to glorify you. And Lord, we know, and the Bible has told us, if we do that, all men would be drawn to you. And so we just want to praise you this morning. We want to exalt you. And I pray that you'd use the message and use this preacher today, Lord, that I could be a servant in your hands today. And I pray that you'd bless, and we just ask that you just take it and bless it, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, I tell you, there's many things on this earth, there's many things in this world that are destructive. You can't help but read the news, you listen to the news, and you find about all the wars, and you hear all these wars and all the weapons of mass destruction, and you hear all these things. You hear about how alcohol and drugs and everything has devastated this world. But you know, there's something that's more deadly than all those things put together, and that's sin. And sin started back in the Garden of Eden. And because of sin, we have everything that's bad, everything that's wrong in this world today is a result and can be traced all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And so we want to look at that this morning. We want to see some things here. And hopefully that will help us to see some things here that we will not tolerate sin in our life. Webster's Dictionary defines sin as transgression against divine or moral law. To depart from the path of a duty prescribed by God, to violate any rule of duty. And then he boils it all down to this short phrase, and that is to do wrong. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible tells us that If there was a way possible for man to get to heaven, he would have to be absolutely perfect. He'd have to be absolutely perfect. Missing the mark. The Bible says, it gives us the picture here, the idea of a bullseye that's set up, and you're sitting there and you're trying to hit that bullseye with a bow and arrow. And anything that goes contrary, or anything that doesn't hit the dead center of that target is missing the mark. And God says sin is just like that, shooting for perfection, but never being able to make it, missing the mark. It also means it has the idea of trespassing. Now, we've all of us from time to time, we've walked up on this sign that says, no trespassing. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes, especially if you're out in the woods, you're out there, you're hiking, you're walking through the woods, or maybe you're hunting, and you come up on this sign. I don't know about you, but there's just something about that that just really grates against my nature. And it says, and I'm out there all by myself, and here's a sign that says, no trespassing. In other words, it's saying, don't step over the line. That's what it's saying. No trespassing. Don't go across this line. This is the line that nobody is supposed to go across. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't mind just to see if anything's going to happen. Sometimes. But you know what? Do you know what Christians do? You know what Christians do? They do the same thing with God's law. God says, do not. And you just kind of step over just to see. Sometimes they do it just to see. Sometimes they do it because they willingly, and we're going to look at that. Really, all sin is because we want to. It's a choice that we make. And we say, this is what, I know what God says, but this is what I'm going to do. And folks, can I tell you, this world in which we live in has got the idea. They have got it. I don't know. Of course, they've got it from their human nature. They got it from the devil. But sometimes I think they've got it because they've watched Christians, and they're not afraid of sin anymore. They're not afraid of sin. And sin really is not as bad as what the Bible portrays it to be. Well, folks, we just know that's not right. That's not right. That's not true. It's not accurate. Because sin, all sin, is a transgression against God. When we sin against a holy, righteous God. Look at what the Bible says here. And most of us would be familiar with this account of history here, in the biblical history here that we find, that takes us all the way back to the Garden of Eden, all the way back to Adam and Eve. And the Bible says that God put into this garden. Now, he told Adam and Eve, he says, now, Adam and Eve, I want you to take this garden, and I want you to take care of it. This is your garden. This is your land. I want you to take possession of it. I want you to make that garden, really, he's saying, if you look that up, I want you to make that land your servant. It's to do your bidding. In other words, you're to plant, you're to dig it up, you're to take care of it, you're to produce something out of this. This is your land. Take charge of it. Get something out of it. And you know what? By the way, God gave us work, but after sin, it became labor. There's nothing wrong with work. And God gave man and woman something to do, gave them a job to do, gave them something that they could take care of, and they could be a part of it. And it could be their own. And God says, now listen, all of this is yours, but there's one tree. There's just one tree that I'm going to put in the center of the garden. And God says, as it were, I'm going to put up a no trespassing sign. No trespassing. Now, we know the devil, of course, the devil twisted this around, and God never told them they could not touch that tree because they were perfectly able to touch that tree. Because God says, I want you to take every tree. I want you to dress it. I want you to take care of it. I want you to work it. Whatever it needs to be done, you do it. But don't take that fruit and eat it. Don't take that fruit and eat it. And then he gives this penalty for it. He says, because you do, if you do, there's going to be a judgment for it. Now, folks, can I tell you that there is a judgment for all sin? Now, we understand that there's greater punishments for certain sin, but all sin is just as wicked and as ungodly in God's eyes as all sin is. Now, there's sometimes more judgment. There's certain sins that cause more judgment. We know that. But all sin is bad. All sin is against God. And I'm going to tell you, every problem, every heartache, every tear that we have, all goes back to the Garden of Eden and what Adam and Eve did. what they did. Do you know God says the day you eat of this tree that you're going to die? And you know, people have a hard time, they have a hard time understanding this, because we know, and most folks know as they've read this passage, that they did not die physically that day. They didn't die physically that day. God says, if you eat of this tree, the day that you eat of it, thou shalt surely die. Now, God was true and accurate in what he told them. Now, he didn't tell them that they was going to die physically, but he did say you were going to die that day. And I don't know if they understood all that took place there that day, or I mean, I don't know how much God told them, but all we have is what the Bible says. But God says when you do that, you're going to die that day. And what he was talking about was, of course, spiritual death. He was going, you're going to be separated from me. God says that sin is going to form a barrier there, and you will no longer be able to fellowship with me. That's what he was saying, and we're going to see that a little bit later on. God says the day that you eat of it, you're going to die. Now, did he start dying physically that day? He sure did. And because of that death, the Bible tells us, because of one man, sin entered into the world, and death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because of what Adam did, death entered into the world for the first time. Now, I want you to see some things here, and I want us to look at some things. I want us to see the course of sin. I want you to see sin, the course of sin is always downward. Look over in chapter number 3, if you would, and let's begin reading verse number 1. Chapter 3, verse number 1. This is the course of sin. The Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Now here it is. Here is the first question. Here is the first question about God's word. Yea, did God really say that? Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. That's exactly right. But she goes beyond that, and she says, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and she did eat. All right? And then the Bible says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Course of sin. Do you know, here is the problem, one of the major problems in this world today. And I was talking about it a little bit in Sunday school this morning. But one of the major problems of the world today is that people have opinions. Everybody has an opinion. People say things. People hear things. And people ask questions. What do you think about this? What do you feel about this? And you know what? Most people are ready to give an answer. Well, this is what I think about. By the way, we're talking about anything that you could mention, any topic of sin, anything that the world has to offer, and people have opinions of it. People have thoughts about that. People have feelings about it. This is the way I feel about it. And by the way, and sometimes those opinions, those thoughts are good thoughts, or there may be bad thoughts. That's not really the issue. The issue is it doesn't really matter what anybody has to say about it. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks about it. And what we do is we forget that God has something to say about it. And what we should do as Christians is it doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what anybody has to think about it, how they feel about it. By the way, feelings, man, are powerful. And people have strong emotions about things, right or wrong. But that doesn't matter. What does God say? You see, and instead of, and I'm afraid, and I know I'm guilty, I'm as guilty as anybody, that sometimes we would rather hear what somebody on the radio has to say about a subject than what God does. I don't know about you, but I've heard some things this week that has distressed me, and I've been tore out of frame. I thought to myself, God, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? And I wanted to go to the radio and I wanted to hear what this one had to say. I wanted to hear what this one had to say. I wanted to get on the internet and see and read what this guy said, what this guy said. And you know what God said to me? He said, I wish you was that eager to come see me. I wish you was that eager to come and hear what I had to say. You see, because it doesn't matter what does it matter what people say? What does it matter what people think? What does it matter what laws and rules and regulations are passed out and handed down? What difference does it make? What does the Bible say? What does God's Word say? And if God has something to say on it, then that's what we ought to follow. And that's what we ought to listen to. And that's what we ought to do. Now, folks, I'm telling you, the world is headed for destruction. That's what God said. God says this world is headed. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin. Because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden, it's put us on a collision. You ever tried to talk when your mouth was really dry? It's put us on a collision course with God. You see, we're running contrary to God. This world is in opposition of God. And folks, listen, as long as we're going with the world or following what the world says, we are in opposition with God. And folks, what we need to do is turn around and get with God and go with Him. And forget what the world has to say and what the world has to offer, those kind of things. Of course, we're saying it's always downward. The Bible, I've said this, I've said it, and I've said it, and I'll continue to say it. The Bible has an answer for everything we have a question about. Every need that we have, the Bible has an answer for it. It has an answer for it. And that's what we need to get back to the Bible. You know, our theme this year has been Bible strong. Bible strong. Boy, I tell you, that's been a great theme. It's been a great theme. And it's been a great reminder to me. Because you know what? I get off track too. And everybody gets off track. And we need to be reminded, get back to the Word of God. Get back to the Bible. Get back to what the Bible has to say. And listen and pay attention to Him, and we're going to be okay, folks. I'm just going to tell you. We're going to be all right. The course of sin. God said, do not touch this tree. Not touch it, but do not eat this fruit of this tree, lest you die. And so the Bible tells us here, and we won't take time, but we could turn over to the book of James, and we could see over there, the Bible says that every man, when he is tempted, he's drawn away of his own lust. He's drawn away of his own. In other words, when Eve looked at this, by the way, can I tell you, where she messed up at the very beginning was when she said, I'm gonna listen to the devil instead of listening to God. I'm going to listen to what the devil has to say. I'm going to pay attention and entertain him and fellowship with him, as it were, spend time with him and see what he has to say. That's where she messed up. But when she did that, she got to looking at it. You know what? The devil will tell us all kinds of things. I mean, he's a master at this. He tells us what we want to hear. He tells us what we want to believe. And he don't, by the way, he don't mind what you believe. He don't mind what you believe. As long as you just don't listen to what God has to say. By the way, even if you put a little religion with it, he don't mind that either. Because you know what? He knows that if it's not thus saith the Word of God, he knows that if you'll take it long enough and you'll entertain it long enough that you can twist that thing around and you can almost satisfy yourself and you can almost get it to say what you want it to so you can go out and participate in any sin that you want to participate in. But folks, let me just tell you, the Bible, I think the Bible's more clear than what people make out to be. I think what happens is people want to sin. And they look for a reason, they look for an excuse to sin. Instead of just believing what God says. God says, don't eat this fruit. Well, she said, I like that fruit. It looks really good. And by the way, there was something in there she desired. Don't think for a minute it was because the fruit looked so good and she desired to have a big bite of that fruit. That wasn't it. She was wanting what that fruit was promised to do. It's going to make you wise. It's going to make you wise. Well, listen, who doesn't want to be wise? Who doesn't want to have wisdom? Everybody does. Everybody desires to have wisdom. Everybody wants to be wise. Well, What about like God? Wouldn't we like to be like God? Wouldn't, by the way, isn't that what the Bible says? We're to be like Him. We are to be like Him. And by the way, we should desire to be like God. But we've got to do it God's way. God wants us to be like Him. But there's a way that He has prescribed that we're to be like Him. And the devil said, well, why don't you just listen? Just bypass all of that. Just forget about it. All you got to do is just take the fruit. That's all you got to do. In other words, can I just say that it doesn't have anything to do with the fruit? It has everything to do with her actions, what she did. You see, she stepped over the line. God says, don't. And she says, I'm going to. And she did. She stepped over the line. It was, by the way, there was a desire there, something that she wanted to do. And then, as she's going downward, she did eat. The Bible says she ate, but her choice became a chain. In other words, she up until this time, she had perfect freedom. She had perfect liberty. But now what she did was going to bind her. And by the way, that's what sin always does. Sin always binds. Sin always traps and traps us, encases us. We can't break out of it. We can't break free from it. And that's what happened. It became a chain. And then I want you to see something here. And I don't know that if we read this, but I want to read it again if I can. The Bible says that she took the fruit. She took the fruit and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, I don't know everything that happened with that. I don't really know the story and how all it came about. But this woman, after she was deceived by the devil, she took that fruit and instead of going to Adam and saying, I have made a terrible mistake. I mean, I have messed up. And Adam, we've got to get with God. We've got to go to God. We've got to get this thing taken care of. We've got to get this thing fixed. I have messed up. Instead of doing that, she took that and she became the instrument of the devil. She became a tool of the devil. And she did the devil's work that day. She did the devil's bidding. And because she had been deceived, then she's going to take it to her husband and try to get him to do the same thing she had did. She did. And folks, can I tell you, and I don't know why he did it. I don't know what would have happened had he not done it. But the Bible says that Adam, with his eyes open, he knew full well what he was doing. He made a choice that day. And he says, I know what God said, but I'm going to eat the fruit. And because of that, the world has known nothing but sorrow and heartache and misery ever since then. The course of sin is always downward. What about the curse of sin? Well, the curse of sin, it affected every area of their life. It's affected every area of our life. Now, I stopped reading there on purpose because I want us to read a little bit farther here. Look at verse number 8, chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. In other words, the afternoon, when the sun has started setting, it's a little bit cooler. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Did you see what happened here? Here's God. Now, don't you know that they look forward to this time every day? Can you imagine God Himself coming down to walk and talk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Now, I don't know if they went and sat down somewhere under a tree or they ate supper, whatever it was. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But you just have to imagine that somehow they were fellowshipping together. They were eating together. They were sitting there and they would just talk. And they would, God would say, what's happened today? Well, tell me about your day. And maybe, they were talking about all these things. Maybe God was teaching them what he wanted them to know. No doubt, by the way, God had already taught them what he wanted them to know about this. They knew what was right. They knew what was wrong. But we don't know what happened, but they were conversing with one another. And I don't have a doubt they enjoyed it. They loved this time of fellowship together. And now, for the first time ever in history, God comes down. By the way, they were expecting. They knew he was going to come. And God says, Adam. All he had to do was call the name. Guess what he did for the first time ever? He went, the Bible says he went and he hid himself from God. In other words, he was afraid. He was afraid of God. Do you know God never meant for man to be afraid of him? God wanted to be with God. You look all through the Bible, you will find God always wanted to meet with man. God always wanted to have fellowship with man. When he chose his chosen people, the nation of Israel, you know what he did? The Bible says that he went out into the wilderness and he pitched a tent there. Why? And by the way, if you'll study that, all the tribes were around this tabernacle, this tent. They were all around him. Why? God wanted to be with his people. God wanted to be their God. He wanted to have fellowship with him. He wanted those people to be able to come to him and have fellowship with him. In the New Testament, he did something a little bit different. The Bible says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know what the word dwell means? It means to pitch a tent. It means to pitch a tent. Now, he had already done that. The picture of it was in the wilderness. But now, here he is himself. He pitched this tent of flesh, and he got right in the middle of his people. He dwelt with them. He talked with them. He walked with them. He brought them to him. He taught them. He fellowshipped with them. God has always wanted to be with man. And here he is the very first time that we see him. He's with Adam and Eve. But now there's fear. There's fear. They are afraid of their Creator, the very one that had created them and given them life. And by the way, given them everything they needed. Now they're afraid of him. They're afraid. By the way, the Bible says that they realized for the first time they didn't have any clothes on. They were naked. And they were in innocence. And you know what? There wasn't a problem with that in the world. Not one problem with that. But now the Bible says they clothed themselves, or they tried to clothe themselves with leaves. And for the first time, not only were they fearful, but now they were also ashamed. They were ashamed of the way God had made them and the way God had left them there. They were ashamed of it. And the Bible says they wanted to cover themselves so nobody would see their nakedness. And then, do you know that even when God confronted him with his sin and gave him opportunity to repent, gave him opportunity to come clean with him, do you know what he said? Is that woman you made? By the way, men, most time we're right in there with them, right? God's that woman. If it hadn't been for that woman, we'd be in good shape. But you know what? Can I tell you? And we kind of laugh at that a little bit, which is all right. But the world is still blaming everybody but themselves. The world is still doing that today. I don't care who it is, what criminal it is, what crime they've committed. They bring them in and say, did you do it? And they said, no, I didn't do it. Well, I mean, we saw you. You had the gun in your hand and we got you on film. Well, I didn't do that. I didn't want to do that, but man, if you knew the way I was raised, I mean, if you knew what happened to me, you'd understand why this happened. Let me tell you, folks, and by the way, the world, for some reason, I don't understand this either, but the world is offering excuses today, too. They'll build your defense for you. All you got to do is just say, well, there's got to be some explanation why I did it, because I know I didn't, well, maybe I did it, but I didn't want to do it. I mean, you can't hold me accountable for that, can you? And the world says, well, you know, you're right, probably. I'm sure something happened down there. Let's don't be too judgmental on anybody, you know. Well, folks, can I tell you, that's nothing new. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did. And can I tell you, that's exactly what we still do too as Christians. Instead of coming clean. Do you know there is nothing like coming clean with God? Hey, there's nothing like that. It is, let me just say this. I know it's hard to do. And I know we don't like to do it. It goes against everything that we believe. But I'm going to tell you what, when we come clean with God, there's nothing like it in the world. There's nothing like being clean before God. As a Christian, coming clean, being right with God, being right with Him. But can I tell you, there's absolutely nothing like as a lost man coming to Christ and coming clean with Him and having the burden and the guilt and the weight of sin lifted off your shoulder. There is absolutely nothing like it in all the world. And by the way, I don't know of anything else that can cure the problem of sin but Jesus Christ. There's no other answer for that. There's nothing else that'll take the place. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Well, sin, the curse of sin, has affected every area of our life. The Bible says for the woman, and we won't take time to read that, but most of us are familiar with that. And the Bible says that He's going to greatly multiply the sorrow, thy sorrow, in conception. And in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee. And he took something that was going to be beautiful and wonderful, and now there was going to be some trouble that's going to come along with that, childbirth. And we know that because of sin, there's many things that happen in childbirth. And I'm going to tell you what, there's all kinds of sorrow in that. By the way, this is a joyful thing. It's a joyful thing. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot. If you don't believe me, all you got to do is ask the ladies. They'll be glad to help you with that. There is all kinds of things that goes on when a woman has a baby. But you know what? It never was meant to be that way. It all goes back to sin. Now, what about the man? Well, the Bible says, because thou hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. In other words, you listened to her. And as eaten of the tree, he says, thou shalt not eat of it, curses the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And the Bible says, in the sweat of thy, not brow, but in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. And he said, it's going to make it hard on you. Thou shalt not, till thou return into the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And so God says, because of what you did, your work now is going to be called and classified as labor. It's going to be something that's going to take it out of you. In other words, you're going to have to give more than what you get. And God never meant for it to be like that either. Now, by the way, I think God still gave us work, and I think there's a purpose for that. And God gave us work so that man might have something to do. Wouldn't it be terrible? Now, I know we don't think like this, but wouldn't it be terrible if man didn't have any work to do? And he could just do anything he wanted to do. Now, I know we're thinking, I don't know if that'd be such a bad deal or not, but let me just tell you, it would be bad. It'd be bad. We need work. We need labor. And God gave that to us really as a help to us. But God says now it's going to cost you more. You're going to have to give more than you're going to get from it. And folks, can I tell you, because of Adam and Eve, because of what they did, then God says, well, now, because of this, then I'm going to have to send a redeemer. Look at what he says in Genesis chapter 3 in verse 15. He says, now I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head. And that's talking about the Lord. And thou shalt bruise his... I'm sorry, that's talking about the devil. And thou shalt bruise his heel. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ was going to have to come. He was going to have to be placed on the cross to pay for our sins. You see, because of our sins, we need a Savior. We need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is the only one that could live a perfect, sinless life in order to be our Savior. He's the only one that could do that. And folks, listen. The Bible tells us, and is very clear about it, that if you don't do something with your sins, in other words, if you don't let Jesus Christ take the penalty of your sin, then you're going to have to do that for all eternity. The Bible says there's only two places that we can go to in eternity. One of them is hell, one of them is heaven. And by the way, everything has been paid for, everything has been taken care of. All you have to do is turn to Him. Trust Him as your Savior. Be willing to come clean with Him. Be willing to humble yourself and say, I have sinned. I've sinned against God. God, please forgive me. And you know, the Bible tells us that if we'll do that, He will forgive us of our sins. And He'll give us a home in heaven. You know, the Bible says He will give us everlasting life. That is a great promise that the Lord has promised us in His Word. Everlasting life. But can I tell you, just like God said to Adam and Eve, the day that you eat of this fruit, the day you eat of it, thou shalt surely die. You're going to be separated from me. Separated. And never, there's absolutely nothing you can do to ever get back in fellowship with God. There's only one way. Jesus Christ is that way. And folks, I'm telling you, and I know that maybe you might have thought to yourself, maybe this is just a simple message, and it was, I believe it was, and it was meant to be, because sin, can I tell you that the world today just doesn't really realize what sin's all about today? They really don't. And the reason why is because they don't know what the Bible says. And folks, listen, we're, as Christians, we need to be more prepared, more ready than we've ever been in our life. We need to know what this Bible says. We need to be ready to talk to folks about what the Bible says. Not your opinion, not what you feel, but what does the Bible say? I think the world is ready. I think the world is being prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And until he does, we need to know what the Bible says. Because I think people are going to start asking questions. I think people are going to want to know. Hey, you said you was a Christian. What does the Bible say about this? Tell me what this means. Tell me what's going on. I think the world is ready for that. And I think we're going to see people, a lot of people get saved as a result of it. But we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. And I hope that you are. Now today, here's the invitation. Here's the day. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you realize maybe this is the first time, or maybe you've realized it before, but you've never done anything about it. You're lost and you need somebody to take a Bible. And that's what we'll do. We'll take a Bible and sit down with you, and we'll show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Now, Christian, this message is for you too, because you may have sin in your life, and you've not come clean with God either. You're not clean with God. And today, God has pointed out, God has showed you something in your life, and you need to get that thing right today. We're going to ask you to come too. If you're here this morning, you're lost, you come. There'll be somebody that'll greet you. And we'll have somebody to take a Bible and show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Christian, you come. The altar's open. And we want you to come. And we want you to be right with God. Because tonight we're going to preach a message tonight on about revival. And revival is what we stand in need of. I'm telling you. We desperately need revival. God's people needs reviving. And so the starting point for revival is confession of sin. Get right with God. All right? Let's bow our heads and